I'd like for us to notice a text this morning. It's quite familiar to all of us, I think. You hear me say it every once in a while. So if you never read it in the Bible, you'd know it from memory by now. It's in the 118th Psalm, verse 24. Said, "This is the day the Lord made. Help us, let us rejoice and be glad in it." Now, last Sunday I brought a message about today. And it was rather in a limited application of the term today. I want to speak this morning on the thought of today on a little broader scale. Now, the Lord made this day in which we live. Not just the one that started this morning and will end this evening, but this dispensation of time, this gospel day. This gospel day is the day of salvation. He spoke of it as such in the second verse of the sixth chapter of 2 Corinthians. He said, "I have heard thee in a time of accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." Now he's speaking of a specific day, a specific time. And the day of salvation actually covers the entire period from the first advent of Christ to his second. This is the salvation age. This is the day of grace. And God has made this day for us. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. God made this day. God made the plan of salvation. When God was seeking for a man to stand in the breach, close up the gap, and he couldn't find a man, said he wondered that there was no man and marveled that there was no intercessor, then his arm brought salvation to him. Jesus was the arm of God extended down to this world to bring salvation. When he came the first time, he brought salvation. When he comes a second time, it'll be without sin unto salvation. And this is the salvation time, an age of the world, and the best age of the world's history that we're living in now. Amen. How's that done?
Amen.
Amen. All right. The Bible tells us that salvation is of God. God made the plan of salvation. No one else could have made it. God had it in his mind as a thing already done from the creation of the world. Christ was a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. God had Christ slain from the very beginning. That was in his mind as a means of redemption and to make an atonement for sin. Peter tells us that Christ was foreordained to this end from the foundation of the world but is manifested in these last times for you. He has come now, and in his coming has been ushered in a salvation day, the gospel day. Now the Lord made this day. Everything that God makes is perfect. When he finished the creation, including man, he looked over everything that he had made, and behold, it was good and very good. God doesn't do any that'll do business. Some people that aren't too exact in their work, mechanics, builders, whatnot, they aren't too exact, they just say that'll do. Well, God isn't a that'll do workman. Everything he does is perfect. And the plan of salvation is perfect. And this day and age of time is perfectly fitted for the occasion that it is meant for. And it is meant to bring the world to God. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. I wonder if we recognize how great a day this day is. This is the greatest age of the world, of the world's history. And now you may challenge me on this statement. Perhaps you will till you think it over a little. But I say we're living in the very best days of this age. We're in the best time of the world right now. We have a text in the 30th chapter of Isaiah, verse 26. Says, moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days, in the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. Now, when would we think of that being? This text, perhaps, has a double meaning. It perhaps had a direct application to the Jewish people, and more particularly to the people in the early morning church. But I think that this text has a double application. Now he said this was to come to pass in the day that he bound up the breach of his people and healed their wound. In the 118th Psalm, I brought a couple of messages recently from that Psalm. There's another one in it that I didn't bring, but reading from verse 18 down through 25, maybe, he says at one point in there, among other things, he says, when the nations are gathered together to worship the Lord, and the king shall serve him. Now that was in the beginning of this dispensation. When Christ broke down the middle wall of partition and made of the twain Jew and Gentile, the Gentiles included all the nations of the world outside of the Jews. When the nations are gathered together to worship Thee, they were gathered together in Christ. Now that was a glorious day. That was the ushering in of the gospel day. In the second chapter of Ephesians in verse 14, he says that Christ is our peace, who has broken down the middle wall of partition, which was between us, the ordinances which were contrary to us, for to make in himself of the twain, Jew and Gentile, one new man, so making peace. Isaiah spoke of, in the 60th chapter of Isaiah, the 9th verse, he spoke of the isles waiting for him and bringing his sons from far. Paul refers to that in the 2nd chapter of Ephesians. He said, you who were sometime far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Now that made an access for us, everybody in here, Gentiles this morning. But that made an access for us that we didn't have before Jesus came into this world. Now the way is open for us to have an entrance into the church of God. The prophet Isaiah said that they'll bring your sons from far, and he spoke of them bringing their silver and their gold, their wealth and their riches, which was their souls and their love and their obedience and their service to Christ. They'd bring that right along with them. Everybody who enters in through Christ brings their souls, their lives, lays it all down at Jesus' feet. And no one knows the blessedness of a relationship with Christ until they're completely sold out to Him, given all over to Him, every phase and area of their lives in His hands without any reservation. Then they know the blessedness of this relationship with Christ. But the church of God has had some sad experiences. Down through the annals of this dispensation, the apostasy came. The biggest part of the church fell away and went into utter darkness. Then there were reformations that came. They were partial reformations. They were restorations of part of the truth. But in this evening light reformation, God stretched forth His hand again to heal the breach of His people. Praise the Lord. And to bind up their wounds. And to bring together in Christ the true children of God. In the one body of Christ, the actual, visible, operating, functioning body of Christ in the world today. The real message of the Evening Light Reformation, and its principal message, was that Babylon is fallen. And the next message was, come out of her, my people. God was calling His people out to the one body. Now He says that the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days in the day when the Lord put forth His hand to heal the breach of His people. God had people scattered in all of these different human organizations called churches. And now he stretched forth his hand together out of this place and that place and that place, bringing them together. And in the 35th chapter of Isaiah, in the 10th verse, he said, "The ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with songs and everlasting joy upon their heads. They shall obtain joy and gladness, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away." A glorious day, a grand day. We're living in that day. He says in the 10th verse of the 1st chapter of Ephesians that in the dispensation of the fullness of times. Now this dispensation of the fullness of times covers this entire gospel age of time, but we're down in the last days of the last days now. It was the last days when the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. But we're right down here in the last days of the last days, in the dispensation of the fullness of times. We have one of our songs says, "We are in the evening of the dispensation day." And this is the dispensation of the fullness of times, times filling up, time running out. And we're in the closing out of this time, and God put forth his hand again to bind up the breach of his people and to heal our wounds and bring them together. And I would say, and you would challenge it, that we have a broader scope of privileges and we're living in a better time than Peter and Paul and James and John lived in, because we have not only the light of the truth that they wrote us and left to us, but we have the light of their experiences and of God's dealings with the church of God all down through the annals of time that we can refer to and be strengthened by and comforted by. So I say that we're down here now. 7 in the scriptures is a number denoting completeness and fullness. And he said the light of the sun shall be as sevenfold as the light of 7 days. We're right down here when time's filling up. We're right in the close of it. But we enjoy greater privileges than anybody has ever enjoyed in the history of the world. If we will apply ourselves, if we will get a hold of it, if we will submit ourselves unto God to work in us, to will and to do of his good pleasure, we can have greater privileges and greater victories today than at any other time in the world's history. We're in the dispensation of the fullness of times, and he said that God would gather together in one all things in Christ. Right down here in this day in which we're living. We're in an evil day, I know. You won't challenge me when I say that, I don't think. I know we're in an evil day, and it's increasing evil. But it isn't as bad as it's going to get. I can prove that by the scriptures. I'm not going into that this morning, but I can prove by the scriptures that it isn't as bad as it's going to get. Jesus said it'll be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man like it was in the days of Sodom. Well, now, we know that when Sodom was ripe for destruction, destruction came. Consequently, we can know that when the earth is ripe for destruction, destruction will come. It isn't that bad yet. It isn't as bad yet as it was in the days of Noah. They were ripe for destruction, and destruction came. Just from that thought alone, it should establish in our minds that things will get worse than what they are. And the cup of iniquity must be filled up before destruction comes. But when the cup of iniquity is filled up, destruction will certainly come. Well, now we're in the age of abounding iniquity. And it's abounding more and more. But the good news that I bring you this morning is that God is not being crowded up in a corner by the increase of evil in the world and the abounding of iniquity. And the devil is not pushing him back and getting him in any corner because he's got the sway that he has in the world. But as evil increases and the powers of hell abound more and more, Christ, instead of withdrawing into a corner, he's going right into the center of the fray with you and me in the conflict. He isn't a ringside observer of the conflict. And as Satan increases, Christ is increasing too. And his grace is increasing. And as iniquity abounds, grace is abounding more and more. Let us believe that. Let us avail ourselves of the abundance of God's grace and the victory that it affords us. Amen. Jesus said, because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. We see it, do we not? We see it in every area of life. We see it between husbands and wives. We see it between parents and children. We see it among the rank and file of the people in this world. We see it making inroads into the congregation of the saints and among the saints and people. It's waxing cold. And we're getting critical of one another. And looking cross-eyed at one another. And failing of the grace of God in the midst of all of it. But it doesn't have to be that way. God's grace is increasing and abounding more and more right along with the increasing and abounding of iniquity. If you and I will just humbly walk with God. God gives grace to the humble. And somehow or other, by some kind of means, God in every age of the world has been able to sustain and enable men who would do it to live for Him. When the thoughts and intents of men's hearts were only evil continually, God enabled Enoch to walk with Him. And when things got so bad that he couldn't countenance them any longer and purposed to destroy mankind off of the face of the earth, in the midst of all that, God enabled Noah to find favor in the eyes of the Lord and saved him and his family. When the children of Israel were carried away into Babylonian captivity and were faced with difficult circumstances down there, God enabled Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to stand out and shine for Him and gain great victories down there. And in the darkest hours of apostasy of ancient Israel, God enabled Elijah to be His man and reached out over there to Amos, the grape gatherer, and enabled him to stand out and shine for God. And in every age of the world's history, regardless of what the conditions were, of that age, God has enabled men that would to live for Him. So let us not be dismayed or discouraged. And let us not think of Christ as standing off over there as a casual observer to our conflicts, as evil hedges us in and evil abounds more and more in this world. But let us think of Him as the rider on the white horse going forth conquering and to conquer, right into the midst of the fray, and waxing stronger and increasing as the conflict increases with you and me. Let us assert our faith and our position in Christ, and let us abound in the grace and love of Christ while iniquity and sin and evil is abounding in the lives of the most of the people in this world. Let us just abound in the grace and love of Christ, and we'll find this a wonderful time in which to live. This is a great day, the day the Lord made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a time of rejoicing. When Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the angelic host sang, "Glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, goodwill to men," and said, "I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." In 2 Kings, the 7th chapter and verse 9. Now there are several verses here that cover this story. And this is when Samaria was in very straitened conditions by a siege laid against them by the Assyrians. And they were all shut up over here. And they were surrounded by the enemy, and no supplies could come in, and they were perishing with hunger. Josephus tells about this time and says that they who were living counted the dead as happy. They wished they were dead. Conditions were so bad, and the people starving. The Assyrians camped out here, and no escape for them. They didn't dare venture outside of the gates of the city. But outside the camp were four men who were lepers. And they sat down and they reasoned this thing out. And they said, "If we go inside the city, we will but die with them." They're all dying in there. "And we'll just starve to death with them. If we go to the camp of the Assyrians," they didn't know what had happened over there, how they'd be received, but they decided to cast their lot that way and take their chance with the Assyrians. They went there and they found the camp abandoned. Something had happened. God had caused something to happen that threw a fear on those Assyrians, and they fled and left all their supplies and stores right there, and these leprous men found it. They were hungry. They sat down there and they ate to their heart's content. They filled their hungry stomachs with the food that the Assyrians had left in their haste. And they sat down to enjoy themselves. But soon one of them said, "Say, this isn't so good. This is a day of joyful tidings. Let us go over to the city and tell the folks that the Assyrians are gone and the camp's abandoned and there's plenty out here. Plenty for everybody. One of our songs says it's a day of full salvation. Waiting here we do not well. Those leprous beggars said, we're not doing well. We ought to be out telling them folks up there that they're starving to death, telling them that there's plenty of food out there. If we tarry till the morning, mischief shall our souls befall. Let us get up and get going with the good news, the good tidings. This is a day of good tidings. And folks, let me tell you, this is a day of good tidings. This is a day of salvation. This is a day of liberty and freedom for souls that are bound in sin. Bound by Satan in his thraldom of darkness. This is a day of good tidings for them folks. Jesus brought salvation. He says, them that sat in darkness, great light is sprang up. Them that sat in the valley of the shadow of death have seen light. It sprang up to them. Jesus, the light of the world, came and brought light to them. Folks, this is a day of good tidings. Now they had, it's described in the 25th chapter of Leviticus. 25th chapter of Leviticus. They had what they called a year of Jubilee. And in that year of Jubilee, on a certain day, the trumpet was to sound. And when that trumpet sounded, it was a proclamation of liberty throughout all their lands. And every bond servant and every hired servant was declared to be free. And according to the law, every master of every household was required to call all of his servants in and declare liberty to them. You're free men now. And you're free to go back to your home, to your families, and to the inheritance of your fathers, their possessions. You can go right back. If you've waxed poor and sold your father's possessions, you can go right back now and obtain that. And if you've waxed poor and you've been sold to serve as a hired servant or a bond servant to any master, you're free now. You can go right back home to your families and to the possessions of your fathers. In the 4th chapter of Luke's gospel, beginning about verse 18, Jesus went into the synagogue and he stood up for to read, and there was delivered to him the book of Isaiah the prophet. And when he had found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings to the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, and to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book and handed it back to the minister, and he told them, he said, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." The year of Jubilee, the acceptable year of the Lord. I'm talking about a day Jesus was talking about the same time that I'm talking about, only he called it a year because of the type of the year of Jubilee. And this is the year of Jubilee when a proclamation of liberty has gone forth throughout the whole land. the whole world. He said, if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And through the salvation that Christ brought, every soul can be set free from the bondage of Satan and sin, and the prison door of sin opened to him, and liberty proclaimed to him, and he can go out a free man, free from sin, free from all the bondage and the influence and the powers of the enemy of his soul. This is a day of good tidings, a day of salvation, a day of deliverance, a day of victory, a day of abounding grace, and a day of freedom and liberty from all that has held our souls in bondage and plagued our lives in the past times of our lives. This is a day of good tidings. In the 7th chapter of Proverbs in the 14th verse, he says, this day have I paid my vows. Have you made any vows to God? I know many folks have. Maybe somebody in here has. Today is payday. This day have I paid my vows. Many boys in the foxholes and in the battle zones of the war made covenants with God, if you get me out of this and get me home, I'll serve you. I'll live for you. God got them out. God brought them home. But they forgot the vows they made. Well, maybe you weren't in a foxhole. Maybe you weren't in a battle zone. Maybe you were in trouble. Maybe you were seriously sick. Maybe you had an urgent need. And you made a vow to God, if you'll help me now in this time of need, or heal me of this sickness, or bring me out of this trouble, or solve my problem, or whatever the need was, I'll serve you. Have you forgotten some vows? This day have I paid my vows. Maybe payday for some of you. If you've made vows to God that are unfulfilled along any line, in any phase or area of your life, and those vows have not been fulfilled, you're in debt today. This is payday. I paid my vows unto the Lord. In Lamentations, the 2nd chapter and verse 16, he says, this is the day that we look for. We have found it. We have seen it. This day in which we live is a day that was looked for by all the prophets and angels before our time. The prophets prophesied of these days, but they didn't see it. And we're told of the people who live by faith and confess themselves to be strangers and pilgrims in the earth. The writer of the Hebrew epistle said, all that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. They were looking for something. Abraham looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. He looked for what we have. And all these who lived and died in faith, not having received the promises, but they embraced them, they saw them far off. They did not receive them. But he said, God prepared some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We're living in the age of time when the light of the moon, those old prophet prophecies, those Old Testament prophecies, and those types and shadows of the law that didn't have too much meaning for the people of their time, they're full of meaning to us today. The light of the moon shining as the light of the sun. And we're down here in the closing out of time's mortal year when everything is focusing right down on these days in which we're now living. And the light of the sun is sevenfold as a light of 7 days. That's our privileges. That's our heritage. Under God, by His grace, we've been permitted to live in the greatest age of the world's history. Our privileges are greater. Our access to more light, knowledge, and understanding of the ways of God are greater than of any other people before us. Somebody said to one of the saints over at Monarch Springs a few years ago, they were of some other persuasion and they didn't see things like the saints did, but they came on the campground there and was talking to one of the brethren there. And this brother said to this man, says, "We have the truth here." And he said, the man said, "Yes, I believe that." Said, "I believe you folks have the truth here, but," says, "what are you doing with it?" That's quite a question. What are you doing with it? We have all these privileges that are ours today, but what are we doing with it? How are we applying ourselves? How are we availing ourselves to all that belongs to us through God's grace in permitting us to live down here in this age of the world, the last days of the last days, where everything of the plan and purposes and truth of God's focusing right down on this age. In the 14th chapter of Zechariah, the 7th verse, he says, "It shall be one day known unto the Lord as neither light nor dark, neither day nor night, but it shall come to pass that in the evening time it shall be light." And that's where we're living, in the evening time. The evening of the dispensation day. The gospel day, the closing out of time. In the evening time it shall be light. Let us open our hearts, our minds, our souls to the light that God is focusing down upon this particular age of time in which we are living, and avail ourselves of the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of Christ afforded to us down here in this particular day of time, which is the best days of them all. Amen.